Greetings and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behruz Najafi. Israeli fighter jets have raided the Syrian capital again. Sana News Agency says that results of the aggression were limited to a strike on one of the warehouses at the Damascus airport. Syrian air defense has shot down most of the missiles. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claims that the strikes hit warehouses containing Iran-made weapons. He also stressed that Tel Aviv, quote, won't allow Tehran to entrench itself militarily in Syria. Israel's outgoing army chief said in September that his country conducted thousands of attacks against Iranian targets in Syria in the past 2 years. Tehran has always said it's offering military advice to Syrian forces on the request of the Damascus government. Now, let's start our debate with our correspondent in Damascus, Mohammed Ali. Mohammed, over to you.
Yes, the Syrian Foreign Ministry sent two letters to the United Nations Security Council and Secretary General following the recent Israeli attack on Saturday that hit a warehouse in the vicinity, of course, of the Damascus International Airport. The Foreign Ministry said in its letters that the attack comes in the framework of the ongoing Israeli attempts to prolong the crisis in Syria, and that the attacks are in violation of UN Security Council Resolution 350 of year 1974, which came following the agreement between both sides, Syria and Israel, on the separation of forces and a ceasefire in general. Also, the letters said that those attacks were cowardly and that the repeat of such aggressions and grave aggressions is just a proof that what Israel is doing is no different from what both Daesh and the Al-Nusra Front are doing, as both are adopting terrorist methods and threatening international peace and security. Also, the letters sent by the Foreign Ministry said that the continuation of Israel in its aggressive approach wouldn't have been possible without the political, military, and media cover provided by the United States. The Foreign Ministry also asked the United Nations Security Council to shoulder its responsibility in maintaining international peace and security and to take direct action in order to stop any recurrence of such an Israeli aggression. Of course, it is to be mentioned that following after Syria received the Russian S-300 defense system, the number of Israeli attacks and the Israeli attacks in general decreased over here in Syria.
All right, thank you for that update. That was Mohammed Ali, our correspondent, who joined us from Damascus, the Syrian capital. Now, let's begin the debate. Joining me today will be Scott Rickert, who is a former American intelligence linguist out of Tampa, and also Richard Millett, journalist and political commentator, who is joining us out of London. Let me begin with Scott. Scott, Benjamin Netanyahu has openly confirmed the news of the airstrike. How is it justifiable for a prime minister to order attacks against the sovereign country without any accountability?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, unfortunately, Netanyahu and his predecessors in other administrations prior to Netanyahu have been attacking Syria for decades. This has been an attack on a sovereign nation, certainly since 1967, the Six-Day War, and certainly since the occupation of the Golan Heights. There is absolutely no accountability, unfortunately, for the Israeli government due to their explicit ties to the United Kingdom, also to France, the United States, and other allies in the region that are friendly with the United States, including Jordan and obviously Saudi Arabia. These countries have combined efforts over several decades in order to regain control of a former French colony, Syria. And this is a problem, unfortunately, not only in Syria, but in other countries in the region. And unfortunately, Israel has been used and abused as a nation, as a warring nation, very much like the United States, for the former empires like the United Kingdom and France, because we are fighting the wars in which the Sykes-Picots and the history of the French and the British empires have created for the world to endure. So I would say, unfortunately, no accountability, because of the fact that, unfortunately, the United States, alongside their allies, control the high seas and the economics, and as well as the military-industrial complex activities, not only in that region, but elsewhere around the world.
All right, let's go to London. Richard Millett, the Syrian Foreign Ministry says that this latest attack is a flagrant violation of UN Security Council Resolution 350 as regards a ceasefire between Tel Aviv and Damascus. Isn't the world body aware of that? Why does it need to be reminded?
It's quite embarrassing, really, that Scott Rickard has to go back 100 years to Sykes-Picot in 1967. 500,000 people have been massacred in Syria, and Scott...
History of war, the history is the key, my man.
So this potential analyst, Scott Rickard...
Why not answer the question rather than attack me? Is that all you have, Richard?
Richard, go ahead.
Because your message is moronic. Your messages are moronic, and the people have to realize that your messages...
Can I just call you Dick rather than Richard?
Come on, Scott.
Scott, people have got to know that what you say is absolute rubbish, and you should be ashamed of that message.
Please, both gentlemen, please, let's just stick to that.
Yeah, exactly. You are absolute rubbish.
Okay, both gentlemen, please, let's just stick to the main topic. We're not insulting each other, okay? We're not supposed to do that. Richard, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you speak, Scott. I'll let you speak, Scott, so please let me speak. 500,000 people have died in Syria.
Then stop attacking.
Scott didn't even get that into it. Scott didn't even get that into his message. And part of that 500,000 people, Iran has declared war on Israel. It says it's a cancerous regime that needs to be removed from the face of the earth. And they want to kill every single, the Iranian regime wants to kill every single Israeli. That's why they're building up the military bases and the rockets in Syria. Once again, Iran is spreading out its tentacles. Not only is it taking over Syria, it's taken over Lebanon, it's taking over Yemen. And it's obviously trying to eventually annihilate the Jewish state, which is its ultimate aim, apart from obviously taking out Saudi Arabia as well.
Okay, so Scott, do you want to ask Richard what evidence he has? Because Iran is not making bases anywhere, Richard. It's the U.S.
So Israel has to defend itself against...
Exactly.
These attacks. We saw last February, Iran launched a military drone across Israel's northern border, and Israel shot it down. This was a precursor, a testing to more attacks. The world recognized this drone as a military incursion into Israel. So if you think that Israel is just going to sit back and let its citizens in northern Israel be attacked by drones, for example, and take no response to that military incursion. I mean, this is just a ridiculous idea that Israelis are going to sit there and let themselves be massacred. They've got to take self-defense.
That's
whatever
so ironic.
You say about the United Nations resolutions, whatever you say about United Nations resolutions, the main war of law, which gives you legal defense, is the law of self-defense in any attack on whether it's an individual.
Yes, Richard, but don't forget, Iran has never initiated any
yourself.
War. That's right. Iran has never initiated
any war. Well, I just said there was a drone. There was a drone attack, and there's a build-up on the Syrian side of the Golan Heights of Iranian forces. Plus, they've said, Iranian regime has said, Israel is a cancer that must be removed. Israel takes seriously threats to destroy it and to kill every single Israeli citizen.
Okay, now it's Scott's turn. Scott, go ahead.
So it's very ironic, you know, if you use the logic that Richard's trying to put forth, the Syrians have been attacked thousands of times by military aircraft in the last 2 years alone by Israel. So what gives them the right to not defend themselves? I have no idea. And the fact that 500,000 people have been murdered in Syria is not being done by Assad. This is an attack by Saudi Arabia, and originally, unfortunately, by Turkey, a NATO partner. Obviously, the United States, the United Kingdom, France, Certainly Israel and Jordan were all participants in the mercenary warfare that resulted in over half of a million individuals losing their lives, including Syrian military forces. That Assad did not initiate this war, and Assad had to respond to a multilateral international warfare against his country. And fortunately, he had help from Russia and from Hezbollah and from Iran. And Iran never had any intention of creating bases there. And Iran has overflown maybe one time a drone. It was not attacking Israel. While in fact, the United States and other nations, as well as Israel, have flown drones not only over Syria, but certainly over many countries in the region. Israel is one of the largest manufacturers of the drone industry, and certainly is very well accustomed to working with the U.S. military industrial complex, unfortunately not only in that region, but certainly around the world. So, you know, to say that one simple drone is doing surveillance above Israel gives Israel the right to bring an onslaught and destruction of another country is just really hypocritical. And it's very sad to hear a very brainwashed individual like Richard Millett spewing his garbage and rubbish around the world.
Let's go
journalism, my God, it's not journalism whatsoever. Okay. It's garbage.
Okay, Richard, Syrian air defense has managed to shoot down most of the missiles fired by the Israeli warplanes in this latest attack, and there is a video footage of that. What does this indicate?
I think Israel's been very happy with its missions in Syria. I think it's taken out quite a lot of Iranian military air bases and a lot of Iranian missiles. And I think there's full support within the government and from the Israeli people. Without these attacks on the Iranian military, it's building up in
Richard, there is no proof to that. I'm talking about
Syria,
something which has been proved. There is video footage. I just ask you what something else indicated. You're evading my questions.
Well, Beirut, you know, maybe that they've taken down some Israeli rockets. I doubt it very much. The Israeli military is, you know, one of the supreme militaries in the world. The rockets, the missiles, the precision is one of the finest armies so and the most moral army.
Well, if we accept
moral
that,
army in the world.
Richard, so Syria must be so even more supreme than Israel because most of the, you know, the missiles have been shot down. Okay, if you're not answering my question, let me put the same question to Scott. Scott, what's your opinion?
So here's what happens when you're firing these weapons from stealth aircraft, and these are air-to-ground missiles that put off a signature in which the air defenses can actually identify. And with the S-300s, these S-300s are actually capable and are reducing the accuracy, or actually the efficiency of the air-to-ground missiles that are being fired from stealth aircraft. Now, the stealth aircraft, obviously, because they're stealth, they're very much more difficult to shoot down. But these missiles are becoming less effective for the Israeli Air Force, and because of the fact that the Russians have given advanced technology, very much like the Patriot missile system that the United States has sold to Israel. And let's be clear here that if the delivery of any kind of missiles from anyone in the world, not necessarily Iran, are arriving by aircraft at the Damascus airport, there is absolutely no right for Israel to go bomb that. If that were the case, every country in the world would have the right to bomb the hell out of Tel Aviv and out of Herzliya and all these other areas where there's airports that they're bringing in weapons from all around the world into Israel. Israel imports a lot of weapons. In fact, it's one of the largest importers per capita in the world for weapons. And by the way, the United States unfortunately foots $38 billion of that warfare effort, gives that money to Israel as a free war grant to the unfortunate war machine that the Americans are financing in Israel and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Richard, do you have any reaction to that?
Well, Scott is obviously no fan of the Jewish state, as we can see, you know, but Israel does what it needs to do. There's a, thank
Absolutely
God, there's a great
not.
Relationship between America.
Don't go for another attack.
Thank God there's a great...
Scott, let
thank God
sad.
There's a great there's a
sad
good relationship
journalism.
Between... Scott, just try and hold yourself back for a bit.
Okay,
there's a
let
good
him
relationship between America and Israel. And if the American people don't like the military aid that they give to Israel, then they can obviously vote against it. But, you know, there's a good relationship. There's a give and take between America and Israel.
No, they can't, because their politicians are bought and sold by the pro-Israel lobby. The Americans don't vote against it.
Okay.
It's the bought and sold Israel lobby that is controlling the American votes in the Senate and the House. Very much like the Parliament in your bought and sold country.
Okay, just try and calm down.
I'm not calming down.
We know you
I'm telling
like Israel,
the truth.
But let's
the truth hurts, doesn't it?
We know you're
it?
Not calming down. Stop. Well, stop.
It has nothing to do with liking
bit,
Israel
Tom.
Or not.
Scott.
Okay. Facts.
Okay, gentlemen, let me just ask Richard.
It hurts
Richard.
To be out-debated, doesn't it?
Okay, let me ask Richard a question. Richard, the Israeli Prime Minister has also stressed, apart from confirming that they have done this air raid, apart from that, he has also stressed that the air raids aim to curb what he calls the Iranian military influence in Syria. And of course, Iran is giving Syria military advice on the request of the Syrian government. Iran has never initiated any war. So what has Benjamin Netanyahu worried?
Well, Iran's initiated lots of wars. I mean, Iran
Which
is supplying
war?
Hezbollah, who want to attack Israel. Iran is, you know, Syria isn't a proper country anymore. Assad isn't a proper president. This is a guy who's a monster, who's murdered 500,000 of his own people. And if you think that's a legitimate government, there hasn't been any legitimate elections. There never have been legitimate elections, including Assad's father. So when you say, you know, there's no democracy in Syria. The guy
Richard,
in charge
again,
is
that's
a
not
monster
the answer to my question.
I have answered your question.
He did not.
Inviting Iran, there's no such thing as inviting Iran into Syria, because these are two undemocratic regimes, Iran and Syria, who are obviously liaising with each other. Let's see a bit of democracy. If there was elections in Syria, Assad would have been probably, you know, put in prison for life. The guy's a murderous monster. And we haven't seen any all we hear is support from, you know, Scott Rickard, that he seems to be in love with the murderous regimes of Tehran and Syria. It's quite unbelievable. But then again, this is the, you know, when you hear someone spout anti-Semitism,
Richard, I
about,
wish you had
you know,
some also
Israel
evidence
lobby buys
to
and
back
sells
up your
America
point.
And the UK. Well, you know, when was the last time there was a democratic election in Syria and in Tehran?
You were also called
you know,
in Tehran.
No
you know how many
regions?
We had more than 20 elections in Tehran in the past 40 years. What are you talking about?
They're not open, honest elections.
You got any proof for that? Please, you should have something to support your claim. This is only claim.
Okay. Unbelievable.
But we know, if you look at the analysis of Iranian politics, there's no proper elections. There are,
of course, we're not discussing
people
Iran
go to the
now.
Polls in fear.
Yep, let's
well, both countries. Syria, there's no democracy. Iran, there's no democracy. You're not talking about, you know, properly constituted governments like in America, like in the United Kingdom, like in France. That's why there's so much murder in the region.
American
That's
government
why I've seen 500,000.
That's hilarious.
500,000. Dead
Syrian. Okay, we're getting off the tangents.
Okay,
let's get back to the main topic. Okay, it's Scott's turn.
Way off.
Scott, Israeli General Gadi Eisenkot has declared that, I'm quoting him, we struck thousands of targets without claiming responsibility or asking for credit. What's your reading of this statement by this former Israeli military chief?
So what we have here is an admission of guilt. Obviously, the Israelis have been attacking Syria using stealth aircraft and not taking credit for it. And at the same time, when you're doing low-altitude stealth aircraft attacks, these attacks cannot be detected with simple radar systems. They have to have airborne radar systems to identify these. And in support of, unfortunately, al-Nusra and ISIS and other forces that have been brought in as mercenaries to fight against Syria and President Assad, these attacks have been going on, unfortunately, not only for the last 2 years, but we're talking since 2012. We're talking over 6 years that the Israelis have been participating in the support of mercenary warfare against Syria. But, you know what, seriously, when you come to a guy like Richard Millip, you know, this is a carnival sort of wind-up monkey slapping his cymbals. That's why every time you ask him a question, he never answers it. He just repeats his cymbal clashing. This has been the kind of rhetoric I've seen in pretty much predominantly 90% of the interviews he's ever done. This is a one-trick pony. This is the kind of guy that you'll get with Richard Millip.
All right, let's get back to the topic again. Richard, Washington decided it's going to pull back its forces from Syria. And President Trump also said that Iranians are free to do whatever they want to do in Syria. That's exactly what he said. Then objections started to pour in from Tel Aviv. Why do you think that is? And we don't have much time.
Well, obviously, yes, no, I agree. Thank you, Behrouz. I mean, no, it's a good question, but the problem is obviously that it's going to leave a gap there, which ISIS is going to fill and Iran is going to fill. And obviously, Israel's very, very concerned about its northern border with the potential build-up of Iran and ISIS on its border, with the potential for flare-ups with Hezbollah as well. I mean, you know, this is all, unfortunately, Israel's very concerned that this could lead to a recipe for, you know, another conflagration between Israel and Syria, Iran and Hezbollah, which would lead to obviously lots of loss of life. And Israel is very concerned about, you know, the instability, and there's no direction, there's no certainty as to what's going to happen once America's withdrawn. And there'll be attacks on the Turks, on the Kurds as well.
Okay, gentlemen, you each have 30 seconds for your final thoughts. It's Scott Sturr.
So here we go. We're talking about Israel becoming really the pivot for the American pullout. Israel has tried to increase their activity of recent, obviously with their tactics. You know, look, they shot down a Russian reconnaissance aircraft using the tactics that they used the Russian aircraft as cover. And unfortunately, the Syrian air defenses accidentally shoot down the Russian aircraft. At the same time, they did the same thing over near Christmas time with the aircraft that they were shadowing that were coming in from Lebanon, the commercial aircraft. What's happened here is because of the advancements in the air defenses, the Israelis are using different tactics. And unfortunately, because the United States are pulling out, I think we can accept that the Israelis will continue and accelerate, unfortunately, their attacks on Syria.
I have to jump in, Scott. We have no time. Richard, very briefly, please.
Well, my personal view is that it would be great to see peace in the region. It would be great if somehow the Iranian regime could pull back from this kind of murderous onslaught that they're trying to achieve against Israel. And that once again, the Israeli people and the Iranian people can be friends, two great nations, the Iranians and the Israelis, can visit each other and be at peace instead, unfortunately, at the loggerheads that we're seeing, that we're discussing tonight.
Okay, we were discussing Syria, of course. Okay, let me thank our guests. So we had Scott Rickert, former American intelligence linguist from Tampa, Florida, and also Richard Millip, journalist and political commentator who joined us out of London. Thank you both, gentlemen, and also thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.